Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Until this shot goes in by Kubalik as the power play began. 5-2 Blackhawks as you hear the United Center horn and song.
This all starts again off of a face-off win by Jonathan Toews. Good help from Kirby Doc. Duncan Keith gets it, puts it in the wheelhouse of Dominic Kubalik, and he just hammers this puck short side. Here's a chance, Kubalik. He scores. I thought that went in the net. It did. Right through Jake Allen. Kubalik with his second goal and third point of the night. And it's 4-0. A marvelous performance from the team. But you point to individuals offensively and also the goaltender who came in. Played a few minutes on Wednesday. Played the whole game today. And his team goes up 1-0 in the best of five qualifier, Corey Crawford. Dominic Kubalik, enormous. Jonathan Toews, the same.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Our thanks to NBC for the highlight and our joy at getting a chance to talk to Eddie Olczyk. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Eddie, good morning. How are you?
Eddie.
Hey, Mully, David. Nice to be with you guys. Thanks a lot for having me. And how nice is it that we can talk playoff hockey on, what the hell day is it? August the 3rd is like Groundhog Day, the last five flipping months for all of us. But first off, I hope you guys are safe and healthy and your families and all your listeners and everybody back home. We certainly understand, I guess I shouldn't say we, but, is a hockey, a part of the hockey community and the hockey world that in the National Hockey League, you know, we understand what's going on in the real world, and we certainly send our thoughts and prayers to everybody and, you know, a big tip of the hockey helmet to those frontline workers out there still battling and praying for everybody. And it's you know, kind of feel like it's our duty to try to bring some sort of, you know, whatever normal is now to everybody and just, you know, take them away from the everyday goings on and, you know, give them a little entertainment for a few hours and hopefully hockey fans and most importantly, Blackhawk fans on a Saturday afternoon kicking off the month of August. We're excited and the last, 35 hours, whatever the heck it has been, is everybody's excited for a game two tonight. And it was just fun to put the headset on and talk hockey, and it's just kind of crazy times for all of us. So hopefully people enjoyed it, and they'll look forward to the late night game tonight against the Oilers, a game two in Edmonton.
Well said all the way around, Eddie. And I got to tell you, I was a little bit apprehensive about watching hockey in July and August. And you sit down to watch that game Saturday, and it was transportive. I mean, it took you back years, it took you, it was just absolutely as entertaining a game as I've seen in a number of years. And it was delightful the way the Blackhawks played. And, you know, we heard Kubalik there with the goals, the assists. I mean, it was incredible to watch.
Yeah, and I think too. Obviously, you know, the intake of the viewing and the way that the home team played probably added to the experience, Bully. You know, for most people back home, and but just to you know to know going in, and you know, with both teams, let me try to be very you know PC here because that seems to be the world we're living in now. Is that you know both teams are not that great defensively, so you knew both teams were going to get chances, right? And it was just a matter of whether or not the teams were able to capitalize or the goaltenders cooperated so that we could have a full score sheet and bring some extra pencils and paper to fill up our scorecard. And but it was that, look at these players having been off for 4+ months, not getting a lot of ice time up until the last 3+ weeks, 4+ weeks now. Were there some guys in Europe skating? Yes. Were there some guys skating in the dark in certain locations? I would not be surprised. And to be able to come out and understand that game one, and I said it before, I didn't want to say it was a must, but I was getting ready to cross the T. Like that's how important it is. And the history is showing you in the National Hockey League. Now, I happened to play in the era in the last time that we had a best of five in the National Hockey League. And I remember vividly the older guys saying, hey, look, we win, you know, this is right before game one. We win game one, we're going to win the series. And I'm like, well, like, still got, you know, we still got to win two more games. But, you know, the numbers bear it out and the confidence and know that the other team really has no room for error moving forward. And I think now with the boat that the Blackhawks are in, is tonight's a must for Edmonton. I mean, there is no doubt about it because there's only been one team in NHL history that's come back from being down 0-2 in a best of five. And I think that was like in the mid-80s. I think it was the Washington Capitals, if I'm not mistaken. But so, look, it was entertaining. It was crisp. You know, there was a little lull at times in the game. And I think both teams hit a little bit of a wall. But at 5-on-5, and I said it during the broadcast on Saturday afternoon on NBC, it wasn't even close 5-on-5. The Edmonton Oilers had no response. They had no answer for the Blackhawks 5-on-5. Especially teams washed themselves out, but 5-on-5, it looked like the Blackhawks had 6 guys on the ice and the Edmonton Oilers only had 5. And that's a credit to the Blackhawks with the way they came out and had the Oilers on the run. And they took advantage of it and pretty much won that game, after the first period.
And, Eddie, credit to you and Doc Emmerich. Boy, that was a tremendous broadcast with guys, Doc in Michigan, you in Connecticut, Pierre, obviously ringside. That was great timing and chemistry. Yeah. It was, I'm sure, unusual to do, but you still were able to analyze the game in a way that made it easier to watch. And I think you touched on this a little bit Saturday, but I think Hawks fans watching are wondering, how did they keep the puck away so successfully from Draisaitl and McDavid in a way that didn't let their top two guns beat them at their game?
Yeah, well, David, thanks for the comment. You know, I think it was strength in numbers. It always seemed like there wasn't a lot of one-on-one isolation, right? Like, I love sports. I love basketball. I don't know a lot of the intricacies, but, you know, a lot of times it's one-on-one. But what ended up happening was, in what happens in hockey a lot, is that when you get to one-on-one situations, if you've got really good players, like if you leave Kaner alone one-on-one, you know, he's going to win that, you know, 9 times out of 10. But I think what the Hawks did is they just always seem to have strength in numbers. They seem to be able to have the puck, always have somebody, you know, on either side of them. There was always an outlet. And then when Edmonton got the puck, it was just almost a swarming type mentality where, okay, like very often, David, I got to go back and look at my notes, but I think there was maybe only, you know, and a couple of them were, you know, those token RBIs when you're down 15-2 when somebody gets a 2-run homer in the 8th inning, right, where McDavid carried the puck up the ice from his own zone to the other blue line. Like, I think it was only like maybe 3 times up until the game was out of reach where McDavid would get that puck and go coast to coast, so to speak. Usually that's about 10 times by that time in the game. So I just think that the best defense in the world, and we talk a lot about it in our town about football, is like the best defense in the world is when the offense has got the rock. That's the best defense in the world. And it's no different in hockey. It's look, when you have it, the other team can't do anything with it. And oh, by the way, defense is not fun.
defense is hard work, and when you got to try to track the puck down, and it takes a lot of energy, and it takes away a lot from the offense. And again, let's not forget, and this is an important part of this, is that the inactivity for 4 months, and at some point, look, at you like to think that the Hawks are going to have that, in, you know, that same stylistic play and that same intensity, and to have it go their own way for, you know, 98% of the game like they did the other day. I mean, there was a stretch there in a second period where, you know, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as good as it was in the first period, but you're going to have those times. The key is when you have the momentum or you have that energy, is what do you do with it? And when you don't have it, can you weather the storm? Can you turn the tide the other way in some fashion? Maybe you take a penalty, and then the puck ends up in your net. And look, that's where Edmonton we knew was lethal coming in, and we saw that on Saturday afternoon. But the Blackhawks were able to equal that and be the better team. Most importantly, in 5-5. So, David, I just think it was a combination of things. And look, I would expect Edmonton to be better tonight, 5-on-5. They're going to come out with a surge because they know it's a must game. But I think it's just going to be really intriguing to see how the Blackhawks are able to respond with a push from Edmonton and give themselves a stranglehold on this series and get up 2-0.
You know, I think it's a huge game for Connor McDavid, right, because of the success that the Blackhawks top line had. I also think, when we talked about it before that began, you just can't let them get on the power play. That's where they're at their best. And, you know, that game starts with kind of a dumb penalty, and boom, mm-hmm. they get a goal. And then you're like, oh, boy. And next thing you know, the Hawks just explode.
Right. Well, they got a gift, right? Like Mike Smith went out to play the puck, and I had mentioned, I'm not going to say 90 seconds prior to that, but, you know, a couple of minutes that he's as good as any goaltender in the league with handling the puck. He really likes to handle the puck, and then he goes out there and, you know, he stick-handled himself in the submission, and Dylan Strome gets the puck and banks it off his backside and puts it into the net. And then you could just kind of – I could just feel, even though there's nobody in the building, you could just feel like, wow, the door was open, right? And, again, I think that's what I was alluding to with David's question, Molly, was when you have the momentum, and when the door opens – what do you do with it, right? Like, how do you take advantage of it? And he gave the puck up. Strome got it, made a hell of a play, banks it in off the backside, and then all of a sudden the Hawks went from, you know, being, you know, 5-5 to 7-5, you know, when it comes to height. And then it was like, okay, we got this. Like, we're gonna find a way. And Edmonton could never, ever recover. And that's just that just happens. And like I said, we knew going in, you don't want to take penalties. And right, the first penalty, too many men on the ice. Okay, you know, hey, inactivity, you know, somebody thinks they should be going, they're not. Everybody wants to blame the coaches, and having been a coach in this league, and having played in this league, it's probably, you know, more 80-20, to be honest with you, that it's the player's fault than it is the coach. Somebody just missed an assignment or thought somebody wasn't on the ice or wasn't paying attention. But at the end of the day, you know, it ends up being on the coach. But you can't get free opportunities, because when you get power play goals, and I think you saw that with that Hawk power play unit, is that it just was feeding, you know, it was just feeding fuel to the fire. It really was. And they gained the confidence and say, you know what, we don't care what our number was in the regular season. And that was 4 or 5 months ago. We're going to go out there and look, you know what, we're as good as the Edmonton Oilers on the power play. This is a new season, and we got an opportunity, and the Blackhawks just absolutely manhandled the Edmonton Oilers in game one, and especially in the 5-on-5.
And Eddie, because of that reality, because it feels so much like a new season, I mean, look, you look at the Hawks, and you expect Keith and Crawford and Kane and Taves to give them the edge because of the experience. They've been to the postseason before, but yeah. Guys like Kubalik, Doc, Strome, who haven't, you wonder if the circumstances kind of remove that layer of concern, because there's not the same kind of postseason playoff anxiety that typically exists.
Yeah, I would put David, I would put Dominic Kubalik in a category in between, you know, the big boys and those two other guys you had mentioned, just because he's an older player. I mean, people mm-hmm. may not realize, like, when you hear rookie, right, everybody that assumes, when you come into the National Hockey League and he's a rookie, everybody just assumes, you know, somebody's 18, 19, 20 years old. I mean, he's an older rookie. He's 24 years old, and he's played in some high-pressure situations. Again, in Europe, it's not the National Hockey League. It's not anywhere close to the Stanley Cup playoffs, but he's got experience. And, you know, that to me, there's something, you know, there's something to that. But those other guys, look at, you can look around the room, whether you play a guy like Connor Murphy. I mean, Connor Murphy had never played a playoff game in his career up until yesterday. And look at the way that the format happened. The Blackhawks got an opportunity, right? 2014 tournament, best of five. And I've said all along is that the players that I've communicated with locally and, you know, nationally in managers and coaches is, hey, look, doesn't matter what the hell happened 4 months ago. It's like, why not us? Why not? We're here. We're in a bubble. We've got an opportunity. Let's see what happens. You know, let's go out there and play. And sometimes, you know, I don't want to say playing loose is the right terminology, but just, you know what, let's just go play. Let's just go play. We know the pressure is on Edmonton. Now, look at, they're playing at home, but there are no fans. But look at, up there, I mean, since that game ended, I think it, you know what, I think it ended about 4:45 or 4:50 Saturday afternoon in Chicago. It's been pretty rough in Edmonton, and rightfully so. The Hawks should expect a push. But I think the experience that those guys gained, whether it's Kirby Dach or Dylan Strome or Connor Murphy, those guys will be, you know, they'll be better for what happened on Saturday. They'll understand the pace. It's going to be even quicker tonight. Like, tonight is for keeps. And I've said for a long time, and this is from my experience of playing, is the rink gets a little smaller come playoff time. Like, the rink shrinks. And sometimes you feel like the other team has six guys on the ice. And for the most part, the other day, that's the way that game with the Blackhawks, that Edmonton felt. And tonight, I think at times, Edmonton's going to find their game, and then the Hawks are going to have to find a way to weather that storm, even though there are no fans in the building.
Eddie, great stuff. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Good stuff,
okay,
Eddie.
Guys, stay safe, and we'll look forward to talking to you guys soon. Thanks for having me.
All right, Eddie.
Thank you. That appreciate is Eddie Olczyk. He is the best at what he does, and you know, I got to tell you, David, if you're not fired up for the Blackhawks right now, then, you know, you're not paying attention, because that game was sensational on Saturday, made the weekend.
I like what you said about it being transportive. It really was that way. It brought you back into the last decade.
Yep.
And the other thing, we didn't get a chance to talk to Eddie, but the Hawks will be without Drake Caggiula tonight because
yes.
of the suspension. He, you know, I was surprised they made that decision, but he did go high, and I guess it was inevitable, but I don't think they necessarily agree, but they'll be having to do without the gritty one.
What I hate about that is he wasn't even called for a penalty.
Yeah,
and you're,
I know.
You're going back, and I mean, whatever, there was a complaint made and all that, and I understand it, but I didn't think the Hawks were headhunting in any way or playing a particular, I thought that they were playing a different game than that, to be honest with you. So that's what kind of bothered me. I don't think you need to suspend a guy when you're trying to, like, grab hold of something. You know, that's when you do it. When there's, like, it's getting too physical and there's too much. I just thought that was kind of nitpicky. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but just from a Blackhawks perspective.
And then he went after Caggiula after that. And
kind
of, there was a retaliation, and there wasn't
exactly
anything after that. So, yeah, it never really can understand some of these NHL suspensions, but they will have to do without one of their grittiest
players. Who steps in there? Is that
they have some options, but you know,
Sakura probably, right?
Yeah, Dylan Sakura could an opportunity, different kind of a player, but certainly guy who might be at the top of that list.
All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Well, I think overall as a player, where he protects the puck so well. He creates chances. Obviously, you can see how he can score goals. So that helps our power play. That helps our even strength game. And then just being a horse out there. You know, we always talk about protecting the puck. And when we can get zone time like that, he's so good with protecting it, drawing guys to him, making plays. Just an all-around complete player. So I think that helps me and Johnny a lot.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That is Sauter talking about Kubalik. And, you know, David, it's going to be fun. The game is tonight at 9:30 in Chicago. I believe it's on NBC Sports Chicago. We'll hear Eddie and Pat, and you know, one of the questions I didn't get to, and you are the right man to answer it for me, because as you have informed us before, you have been to all these youth hockey tournaments and spent a ton of time, and I understand that the preparation of the ice is different at an amateur level than in the NHL. But one of the questions you have when you start talking about a bubble type tournament here in the NHL, there are going to be a lot of games on that ice, and the Blackhawks have the last game, they have the late game, and you wonder the condition of the ice. Will it be different than it is earlier in the day? Will it be different than it was on Saturday afternoon? And who does that benefit if it is? I mean, you got both teams are kind of high flying here, and certainly McDavid, the fastest man in hockey history, behind Louis Robert. Who does it benefit, Dave?
Well, if there were one guy driving a Zamboni as a part-time job on the weekends, and that was how you were cleaning the ice, I might worry a little bit more. But I do think this, and I think they alluded to it a little bit the other night, Molly. It's a really good question, because I think at the end of the day, it's inevitable that you expect some of the conditions to be different than they would be on a fresh sheet of ice at the beginning of the day, or the second game, as was the case on Saturday. But I do believe that the absence of fans from that arena, from the rink, will change the temperature in the room. And I think that Pierre alluded to that as well, is that's going to make it a little bit easier to maybe maintain conditions. And to whatever degree that will matter, I think obviously if you're the Hawks, you know, even though Edmonton is at home and they're playing on their home ice and the Oilers are more familiar, you want it to almost be, I would think, if it's impaired, it's okay, because you have a team that you have dominated in 5-on-5 situations in game one, and you feel very good about going into game two. But they could fly, the Oilers, and they have speed to burn. And I think that is the one thing. If you can gum it up a little bit, why not? So I don't know what kind of shape the ice will be in. I would think that they have addressed this, you know, in trying to be preemptive about it. So my sense is it will be, you know, first class, but it's inevitable that there could be some kind of some wear, and it'll be obvious. That's the first thought. The second thought is, if this is like your typical hockey tournament and we're talking about a 9:30 p.m. puck drop, that's optimistic. It's going to be later. There's going to be delays. There's going to be some reason it's not going to start until maybe 10. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know about that.
Boy, I hadn't even put that into the equation. You know, I'm thinking 9:30, I can handle this. I'm with Dustin. You got to take a nap. You stand up for the third period. I mean, I get how to go about it, but man, if I'm sitting there waiting for the game to start, that takes a whole different
time. Well, I think it's inevitable. Don't you think it's going to happen? Because there's the games previously. What game is going to end when it's supposed to end? What if you have overtime factored in?
I mean, listen, I just think of it as a well-oiled machine, the NHL playoffs. I don't think about what you're talking about, and you're absolutely right. It's a different idea altogether. I got to think this one through a little bit. you mentioned losing the grinder, right? You need grindy in the playoffs.
Kajula, they're going to miss him.
Yeah, so do you – you know, that's not Cicula. I mean, they've got options, but they don't have obvious ones, because are you trying to replace that player, or are you trying to replace that type of player? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're going to miss what he gives you in terms of just everybody needs, you know, somebody like that. And I think that most people have the kind of the Andrew Shaw type mentality. Hmm. You want everybody to take that to the ice. That said, I don't know that I'm going to change my outlook on what they need to do, because, you know, Kajula can't play in game two. I'm not sure that is a game changer necessarily, because of how dominant their first line was. You look at the way they matched up against McDavid and that line, and I think that is more encouraging than what they're going to miss. Now, that doesn't mean won't, you know, at this point of the, I guess it's the postseason, but it feels like a second season, you're not so much worried about intensity, I don't think. And so you could probably absorb that loss easier now than you might later in the tournament, once you might get used to it. But everybody's going to bring it tonight, and that's the one thing. The Hawks, you know, they started, both teams started, they're flying around. They were just flying around.
oh, it was unbelievable. And, you know, it didn't seem like playoff hockey, because that's usually guys thugging each other, but it's a good matchup for the Blackhawks, in my opinion. Mike Smith was pulled in that game, obviously, the goalie, after he was allowing tons of goals, and they brought in Mikko Koskinen, and he played better. I didn't think he was spectacular, but he certainly played better. And they're not, I mean, this is so NHL, they're not announcing who they're going to start. It's going to be a game time decision, they claim, but it's got to be Koskinen.
I can't imagine why they would go back to Mike Smith. It's not 2012 anymore. Any hold he had over the Blackhawks is long gone, and we saw that early. I don't think it matters who's in goal. I think it's going to be a matter of how the Hawks are able to possess the puck again. It's like a team in football that has a great running game and trying to work the clock and time of possession. The puck possession game for the Hawks is one of the big reasons McDavid and Draisaitl couldn't get going. And I think Calvin DeHaan had a really strong game as well. Their defense was really good in front of Corey Crawford. But, Molly, we can't overlook the fact that I mentioned it earlier, and I guess it bears repeating. Corey Crawford a few weeks ago was battling the coronavirus at home. Yeah. And now there he is winning games for the Hawks in net, and that to me was as impressive as anything that we saw on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm just curious if you think, you know, just given the circumstances of the game, given, you know, if you, here's what, you win this game, that's a death blow. I mean, there's no way, you know, this is, we're going to see, I would imagine, desperation from the Edmonton Oilers, and I'm sure they've been catching tons of grief as the home team, losing in the first round to, what is it, a 12-5, right? So they're a 5-seed losing to a 12-seed.
And they've been hearing about it for 48 hours since, you know, what they didn't do and how disappointing it is and what McDavid hasn't done, whatever it is. I mean, McDavid did have a pretty solid game, but I think overall, yeah, the Oilers are probably sick of hearing about them being underachievers because they lost to a 12-seed. But the Hawks are no ordinary 12-seed. You know, that's a team that has, you know, comes in as the youngest team in the playoffs, but their youth is complemented by experience, which gives them a foundation that they're not going to come out flat. And they didn't, because Jonathan Toews wouldn't let them. And he had a tremendous game and reminded everybody this is still his team and this still might be the Hawks' time. And that's what's fun about tonight.
I loved at one point when Pierre was saying that he was demonstrative, and he was yelling a lot. Like, there wasn't a lot of atmosphere, but the captain was giving it all the atmosphere you needed. And it's like he's coaching the team. He's standing there screaming his head off.
Yeah, and you saw the way they played, you know, and then he scored, and he took advantage of the opportunities. That's the one thing the Hawks did. When the door was open, they went through it, and they didn't squander any opportunities, and that is a sign of a team that was ready to play. And, you know, we talk about all these high-scoring exploits and what Kubalik did. Patrick Kane, you know, wasn't really that impactful in game one. And if he gets going, this is a dangerous team. It's deep and it's dangerous.
Yeah, and hopefully it happens tonight. All right, we've got a lot to get to. We got to talk a little baseball. We also have to get into is there going to be a football bubble? Can you create your own bubble? Does that work? We'll discuss it. Mully and Hall on the Score.
You know, what's interesting about that is I'm not sure I see a lot of similarities to football, or I'm not sure how it relates to football, honestly, because, you know, just reading some of the clips, it seems like the players got together and voted to keep playing somehow in a group chat. That would never, ever, ever happen in football. They would be stopped at 1 or 2 or 4 rather than 11. I mean, these guys played after they knew several players were COVID positive. And then it took even more, like another day, for everyone to kind of get together. I mean, think about how many different people were put in harm's way. To me, that would never, ever happen in football. Players wouldn't have a decision. The ones who were positive would be removed immediately. The protocols are much stricter, and there's only games once a week, which to me makes it easier to kind of keep control of things. So, you know, I would say it's obviously something that they're keeping an eye on and making sure about, but I don't know that it necessarily relates to football.
Mm-hmm.
Radio 6-7 to the Score. That is Ian Rappaport, the NFL Network. He was on with Dan Bernstein last week talking about the Marlins and how that couldn't happen in the NFL. And we've got all sorts of stuff to talk about in the NFL and a very interesting thing going on in New Orleans. But first, we have breaking news on the Score. Breaking news on the Score, brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, he's bought the XFL.
For a song, basically,
yeah.
Right?
$15 yeah.
million? Dollars?
Redbird Capital, Jerry Cardinal, $15 million. That's his partner. And The Rock has – that's like – that's a bad movie for The Rock, right? Not that there are a ton of good ones. Hey, watch out. But how about that? The Rock, he is wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the XFL.
He knows professional football, right? An agent, right? Or is that just fiction?
He knows it from distance. Oh, that's right. It's one of his movies.
He's in Ballers. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. He's walking around right now like he's Vince McMahon. Okay.
He wants to play. He's going to suit up.
Oh,
that's crazy. Well, wow. So there's going to be an XFL. I didn't know if there would be.
Great news. So. I love the
great
XFL.
News.
Don't we all love the XFL? It's a great idea. Let's make it happen. It was sad that it couldn't go forward. And it hasn't ended. God bless The Rock.
Well, you guys were way more into the Alliance of American Football than the XFL, if I remember properly.
Oh, yeah. AAF, we were all over that. XFL, not so much.
Any professional football. Isn't that what we decided?
Listen, we'll take any professional football at this stage.
That's right. Who are we kidding?
I hope that the XFL is not the next league we have to look forward to.
How about The Rock? Isn't that awesome, David? You got to love it. Bring star power to the XFL.
Love The Rock. Gotta love The Rock.
Uh-huh.
Dwayne Johnson.
Vin Diesel says you don't have to. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure he said that.
What's your favorite Rock role? I do like him as Spencer Strassmore in Ballers.
I've not watched Ballers once.
Really?
Yeah. I often feel bad about it, but it's like one of these things where I miss the start of it, and now I gotta watch them all. To catch up, and it's just too intimidating. Let me tell you something. There's too much television and movies out there. It's stopped me cold. I can't watch any anymore because, frankly, there's not a lot of great stuff.
No.
And then you find out that you've missed all this stuff.
Okay.
And it's just
let me tell you.
Oh.
Ballers, you're not missing much. It used to be my guilty pleasure when I traveled. So you would download a lot of episodes because they were quick 30-minute episodes. I like The Rock. And it was about the NFL, and it was outrageous. So it was kind of like when I traveled, and it's been a while, Molly. Nobody travels
no
anymore.
No one's traveling. Yeah.
But I would watch Ballers and kind of catch up on season 1, 2, 3, whatever.
Are you watching anything right now?
Well, you know what? I have to say that the best episode, the best season in, I think, television history, I think I just watched again because I've seen it before. And this will come as no surprise to you. But the first season of Friday Night Lights is as good of a television series as you'll ever have.
That's that actor that used to get the Sun-Times delivered early, as I recall. Yeah, used to see him around the paper.
Coach Taylor to you, please.
Yeah, Coach Taylor. We got him the paper early. So
and Tammy. You cannot forget Tammy Taylor. She's outstanding.
That's his wife.
Connie Britton. Yes.
Okay.
She's outstanding in this.
I guess. Okay.
I'm watching this Perry Mason series. Have you watched this at all? Or
we watched the first one. Yeah,
That was a tough one.
That was a tough one.
Yeah, that was that was really rough. I started watching it, and I said to my wife, I'm like, hey, you ought to watch that. You'd never like it. Nah, you'd never watch the second one. Never mind. But I've been watching that as a guilty pleasure. I love it. I think it's fantastic. Again, I don't get to watch it live because I was watching basketball last night. The Houston Rockets have really enthralled me. I love the way they play, that wacky small ball, getting rid of their bigs and really just kind of spreading the floor and knocking down threes. And they played Milwaukee last night. It was a hell of a game, and I had watched the game against Dallas. So it's like, you know, I'm kind of adopting teams as
yeah,
I go here.
I can see that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well,
it's
the NBA is fun to watch. You'll have to understand though. You can't understand after the first episode of Perry Mason. You would think like maybe I have a hard time understanding these reviews that have been very, very positive. So I'm a little bit intrigued. But the first episode didn't make me really want to go back to for number two. You understand? It was rough.
But you know what's amazing is like he's now turned into Perry Mason. So it's like it's really fun. The evolution of the character has been fun. But again, okay, it's kind of a guilty pleasure. It's not. I don't want to recommend it to everyone, but I'm enjoying it.
But
I
now
like
that you have live sports to
life.
Choose from, it's a
That's
little bit
it.
Fewer options
That's
from
it.
The you know the Netflix yeah. or Hulu or however you choose to get your series. So the NBA, and look, there was a lot of good hockey on too over the weekend. These teams coming back, and they're playing such a high intensity. I know it's the playoffs, but I think this is just like 4 months of energy pent up, and people are just going after it. It's great.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm like so focused on our baseball teams, and I'm watching like every minute of coverage that I can get, and I'm watching so much of the baseball that it really has kind of taken over my life a little bit, and gladly. I mean, it's wonderful because you can do other things while you're watching it, but you're just kind of in front of it, and then you can look up, and it's so gripping to me to finally have something worth watching, and both of our teams are doing so well, and I cannot tell you how delighted I am about the White Sox 4-game winning streak. It is just, it's added a little something special to my life. Honest to God, I feel better about the world when I get to see a little baseball.
It's also fun, Mully, when you're watching a team that you like to watch and they're scoring a ton of runs, because there's nothing more exciting in baseball than seeing a team kind of just the dangerous offensive team. Look, there's nothing wrong with 2-1 and 3-2 in a pitcher's duel here and there, but the Sox are scoring runs in droves, and it's just like that's what makes it even more fun, more exciting.
I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed that they're not scoring more runs. As stupid as that sounds, they keep loading the bases and not getting enough runs out of it. And,
come on.
I'm not.
What do you want?
I want more runs. The biggest victory of that weekend was they played game one, and they got the Adam Engel home run. They had a great performance from Dallas Keuchel, and they won that game 3-2. I think they had 4 hits in that game. And in a similar sense, the Cubs winning the extra innings game with a 2-1 with John Lester on the bump, those were the keys to sweeping either series. To be able to win a close game despite not being able to put up a ton of runs. The Cubs are averaging like 6.5 runs a game or something, or were before yesterday. And the Sox, I think the Cubs were tied for the lead in home runs, the Sox with batting average. And that's fantastic. But, you know, you've got to win some of these games where, you know, you don't score bundles of runs. And the Sox
sound a little
did
greedy,
it, the Cubs did.
Molly, you sound a little greedy. Let me look, Ryan McGuffey, our pal over at NBC Sports Chicago, just tweeted this out. This is where the Sox rank offensively. First in batting average, .281. Nice. Second in the AL in OBP, .342. Second in slugging at .456. Second in OPS, .797. Second in runs at .50. And tied for first in major leagues in hits with .92. What do you want?
I want more hits with runners in scoring position. You asked me, am I greedy? Yes.
Yeah.
Am I avaricious in my baseball? Correct.
I'm going to go look that up now.
Does that make me a bad person? Yes.
No,
I'm a bad guy.
No, but I do have our five of our questions for tomorrow. Which is the best? Which is the best unit or group in Chicago? The White Sox hitters, or their offense, or the Cubs starting pitching?
I think the winner is the Sox bullpen.
Really? Good answer. You know, they've been really good too. Man, Sox are loaded. How do they start 1-4?
I don't know. I think they had 2 really difficult series to begin, and I think that now they're getting their team together. And, you know, look, the beauty of it is not just this season, what's happening now, this weekend. It's this 10-year, this decade.
It's going to be unbelievable. That this is the beginning of something special, and you're seeing why in a series over the weekend and this sweep and this winning streak. Yes, this is the beginning of something that could be really fun.
And we've had a lot of fun this morning. It's been a ton of fun, and we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
Oh, God, that means a lot. Thanks to our guy, Dustin Rhodes.
We're just doing the copy baseball.
And thanks to Kevin Zipak.
Jerry really stepped up.
And thanks to Ray. Ray, my heart sings when I think of your contributions.
Latino, tu sabes.
And David, have yourself a great day. Enjoy the hockey tonight. We'll be watching baseball first, but I know it's a big day, so we got a ton to talk about when we come back in the morning. Should be loads of fun.
Take a nap and rest up for that 10 p.m. puck drop.
Get an extra half hour on your nap. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That segment brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
If it is to be said, so it be. So it is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.